I always like to tell the story. I always like to tell the story of the first couple of weeks that my wife and I came to Eretz Yisrael after Chasna. I had the opportunity to open up our first bank account in the state of Israel. It was Bank Leumi down by the Tachna Merkazit. I don't even know if it still exists. But the most surprising moment for us was after we were going through all the details of the account and putting in the money and you know whatever and getting the checks and the whole deal was that my wife asked the obvious question, you know, coming from America, said, well, you know, what's the interest rate in this bank? And they like looked at us like they were clueless, and my wife was like, what are you talking about? And my wife explains, you know, like usually when you give them your money to the bank to hold on to, and the bank is going to do something with it, so then, you know, you get back something, 0.5%, 1%, 2%, 3%. Back in those days, it was, you know, you could get 2-3%, right? The teller looks at us just incredulously and said, well, what are you talking about? She's like, well, how much money are you going to give us? The teller says, well, you mean, oh, how much money do you have to pay to have your money in the bank? There's something's wrong here. I'm giving you my money to keep in your bank account for you to invest it, and you want me to pay money to keep it in your bank? I always realize that, like, okay, we're coming to a different economy here. It's a different situation. Okay, but I heard a story this week that puts that one to shame. Here's the story of this one. You have a child who has an account, and the child, for whatever reason, is entitled to a stipend for a physical disability that he has. It's a custodial account, and pretty much on a monthly basis, so then, you know, the money is accruing in this account. Unbeknownst to the custodian or parent or whatever you want to say, there happens to be a rule in the state of Israel that if you leave this account untouched for a certain amount of time, the Bank of Israel has the right to take the money and invest it as they see fit. Still your money, but they can invest it as they see fit. That's exactly what happened. The custodian runs down to the bank and says, what are you doing? You took my kid's money. Goes through back and forth with the teller of the bank, the investor in the bank, and says, okay, listen, this is the way that it works, and if you want, you can sell it, you can get it back out. However, you should know that the bank takes a commission for all of the things that the Bank of Israel has done with the money. Now you're going to have to pay us, or the account is going to have to pay us for all the things that we did by taking your money away from you and investing it in the stock market. The custodian says, okay, just get the money out of the stock market and give me my money back. The teller says, okay, and goes on to the computer and tries to do exactly that. Says, sorry, can't do it. Why? In order for this type of account to sell whatever is in the Bank of Israel, so the custodian has to be part of the deal. And since you weren't part of the deal in the bank taking away the money from your account in the first place, so now we can't give it back to you. Well, why didn't you ask me in the first place? Well, we were supposed to. That was a mistake. You understand what's going on over here? There's money in a custodian account. They go and take the money away from the person. They invest the money for themselves, charge the person money on that account, and then they have the audacity to say, well, since we didn't consult you in the first place, and now it was sold off, can't give it back to you. Usually when I have a neches, I have property. So if you want to do something with my properties, then I'm expected to get something back in return. It takes a very, very twisted type of a logic to say we have a system where I'm allowed to use your property and charge you for using your property and then take away your rights in using your property because of the fact that I misused them and now I'm going to charge you for misusing them. Happened. Is it grounds for a lawsuit? Could be. But within the crazy system, there is somehow some justice. But that's how things sometimes go in the world. And it comes from an attitude that, unfortunately, not only do you find in the world today, but it's been around for a very long time, going back to the time of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, we talked about last week, so when he went to Mitzrayim, so he asked Sarah if he could say that she was his sister. Matter of pikuach nefesh. This week, the same thing happens all over again. Vayisa misham Avraham Arza Negev Vayeshev ben Kodeshu ben Shur Vayogar begror. After Sodom is destroyed, Amor is destroyed, and Avraham Avinu realizes that there's not going to be any more business, Achnasas Archim, so he moves out of town and he goes down to Gror. But here, unlike in the previous case, he doesn't ask Sarah. Vayomer Avraham el Sarah Ishtay, Avraham just says about Sarah without asking her, Achaisihi, that she's his sister. Now Rashi already points out over here that Gerar was a very different type of society than Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, saying that Sarah was a chaysi, he was absolutely necessary, because otherwise Avram is dead. In Gerar, Rashi tells us that it was al karchav shaloi b'toivasa. It wasn't to her advantage, because you already know that saying that she's a sister is likely to land her up in the king's palace. She doesn't want to go there. And since Gerar was a pretty moral place, there's a good chance that that wouldn't have happened had he said that she's my wife. But he doesn't want to take any chances. And Shaloi B'Toivasa in Balkarcha, Avraham Avinu just says, okay, let's play it safe and let's say Achaisihi again. Sarah gets taken away. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu again performs a nace, doesn't let Avimelech touch her. And here again you see that Gerar is different than Mitzrayim. Vayavoy Elokim el Avimelech b'chalom alayla. Hashem comes to Avimelech in a dream. Okay, Hashem doesn't usually come to me in a dream. He came to Avimelech in a dream. So we're not talking about a simple person over here. Vayomer lehincha meisal isha asher lakachta. You are dead because of the fact that you took Sarah. Ibulas ba, because she's married. Zokta Avimelech, what are you talking about? Avimelech, what karavol? Avimelech had not done anything to her. Vayoymar, Hashem, Hagoy Gam Tzadik, Taroig. Hashem, you're going to kill even the goyim who are tzadikim. I did this betumas libi, Rashi says, that Avimelech, before he took Sarah away, he did a lot of checking. He went to every single worker, employee of Avraham Avinu, to all the people who knew Avraham Avinu, and said, who is it? Is it his wife or his sister? And every single one of them said, it's his sister. So what do you want from my wife? HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers back, Elohu Amali, I'm sorry, Vayomer Elav Elokim, Bachalayim, I realize that you were innocent to a degree, and that's why I prevented you from sinning to me. But still, go bring her back to Avraham Avinu, and he's going to daven for you, and he's going to live. But if you don't give her back, daki mois tomus, you're dead. So question number one is, Hashem says, you're right, you were innocent. You don't give her back, and Avraham Avinu doesn't daven for you, you're dead. That's question number one. Question number one is, why? Hare, he's right. Question number two is, okay, I understand, it wasn't such a nice thing, yeah? But dead? It's pretty stiff. Question number three is that Avimelech had a very interesting onesh. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, "Ma'isim asher lo yasu." What happened to Avimelech and all of the people? Maka asher lo hurgal olav al ber yabah lanu al yadcha. We had a very, very strange plague here. Atziras kol nekavim. All of the holes in the body were plugged up. Shel zera, shel ketanim, rei, aznayim, chotim. You'll take a look at the medrash. The eyes were plugged up. Everything. Every hole in the body was plugged up. And that's what he means, mace. Every time you say an asher yatzar, and you stay like that for another 24 hours, you're dead. You're all dead. Why did Avimelech and all of his people warrant such a strange onesh? See, he was right. And why does he deserve to die? And why does he deserve to die by him and everybody else being satum, totally plugged up? Rashi gives you the beginning of the Teretz. What's Avram Avinu's reply to Avimelech? Why did he say that she was his sister? So Avram Avinu says, Raki ein yiras elokim. The reason that I decided to play it safe is, he says, Achsenoi shebo le'ir, aliske achilu shtil shayin le'say. Normally, when a person comes to town, so what do you ask him? Where are you staying? Do you have food? How can we take care of you? But you did something else. Aliske ishtay shayin le'say. You came and you start asking, who's that woman with you? Because of the fact that you're not worried about my needs, the first thing that pops into your mind when you see a stranger is, who's that woman with you? So I know exactly what I'm dealing with. And therefore, I lied, or half lied, and therefore she was taken away, and therefore, if you don't do what I say, you're dead. But it still seems like a lot. Ain't yours like him, not so nice to ask after somebody's wife or traveling companion who she is. You should take care of their needs first. But still, you're dead? And in such a weird way? What's going on over here? What's the pshat? And why do they deserve all of this? Now, I'll tell you another wild maisa that I saw, that I heard this week. It was, One of my rebbeim told me years ago that he had relatives. And this goes back to Lithuania, and they moved to Eretz Yisrael. Some of them moved to America. They picked up the family minhag there. The minhag was, and this is before, you know, the neighborhood change. It was in Chicago, I think. Some of the people are in Chicago, some here in Bnei Brak. The minhag was, is you don't lock your door at night. Why? Because there could be a Jew who's popping by and he needs a place to stay, and so therefore, you know, everybody knows, oh, a Jew lives here, okay, fine, you know, so you come in the front door, you make yourself at home, take some food out of the refrigerator and lay down on the couch, and you know, so. That's the way that it used to be. Now this week I heard a crazier story, and the reason it's crazier is because it's Bizman Hazeh. Somebody told me about a family who lives not too far from here. Who's, you know, one of those open house people. And the Shabbos, you know, you have 40 guests, 50 guests, 60 guests, or whatever it is. And these people, so, you know, that was their minute. You leave the door open. But they have a large family also, and therefore is a problem. Your door is always open, and you always have 60 people sitting there sleeping on the floor, or 10 people sleeping on the floor. The kids, after a while, say, you know, it's kind of noisy over here. I think that I'm going to go to my friend's house to sleep this week. And so the kids were escaping the house, and the guests were coming in. So what did the parents do? They put a lock on the door. With the lock on the inside, they locked the kids in. Everybody else is able to get into the house, but the kids are not able to leave. Exactly the opposite of the bank account that we're talking about in the beginning of the shmooze. The bank account, I own something, you help yourself to it, you charge me for using my money. Over here, I have a dira. The dira is open to everybody. Okay, my kids, I gotta take care of my kids. So I'll put a lock on the door, make sure the kids stay at home. But everybody else, very happy if you use my apartment. No problem. What's a more Jewish way of looking at things? Obviously, whatever nechassim I have are given to me to share with other people, to give other people. But if I look at all of my nechassim, if I look at everything in my life as just a way of taking care of myself, So I've cut myself off from my environment, and there's no purpose for me in Olam Hazeh. There's no purpose for me in this world. Olam Chesed Yibona. The world is built from people giving to other people. And if you live a life of chesed, you give to other people, so you're alive. You're attached with all of humanity. A person, on the other hand, who looks at all of humanity as just people to milk and people to use in order to take care of his own personal needs, you know what? That person's dead. He's within himself. He's totally narcissistic. He's totally self-centered. And the best thing that you can do for him so that he doesn't affect anybody else is plug him up and make sure that there are no outlets and no inlets from him to the outside world. You make him a mace. And that, lemaisa, is what happened with Avimelech. Avraham Avinu said, listen, I came into this town. What do you usually do? You see somebody just came from a long journey. He's schlepping, he's doing, he needs a place to stay, he needs food to eat. You take him under wing and you say, listen, where are you staying? Can we get you some food? Can we take care? You need a new pair of shoes, you need a new suit, whatever it is, right? What do? I come into town. Oh, who's the woman with you? How can we use you? How can we squeeze you? How can we take away everything that you already have? Avraham Avinu says, I got to protect myself from these people. First they take my wife, then they kill me. So say Achaisihi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Sarah is by Avimelech and says that what do you do with such people? What do you do with people who use the outside world rather than give and interact the outside world? You cut them off from the outside world. No eyes, no ears, no mouth to eat, no mouth to talk, no perivarivia. You can't even get rid of the waste material that's already inside of you in order to function further. You can't get anything out. You're totally self-contained. Chazal tell us that a suma is kemes, saras is kemes, and ani is kemes. Why are you kemes? Because you have no interaction with the outside world. He's blind. He's a leper. Tame yikra, you throw him out of society. He's an ani. He can't interact on an economic level. And so therefore we made all of these people, this whole society, into mason. What's the only way? Go to Avraham Avinu, the pillar of chesed. Get him to daven for you. Give him back his wife. And get him to show you the way. And therefore, you're going to be interacting people with people on a healthy level. Was Avimelech moral in the legal sense? 100%. Wouldn't have broken any rules. Maybe take money from somebody else's bank account 100% legally and then charge them for it. All built into the system. But it's midas sdom. How do you do that? What are you giving the other person? You're just using them and abusing them. That's not the way that we do it. I'll just add off with one more nakuda over here. This is a crazy thing last Motzei Shabbos. I should have brought it in. But I took the flyer because it was just so crazy. I mean, nobody would believe me unless they saw the thing. It was one of these flyers, you know, for one of these programs, not from the Rabbanut HaRoshit, but, you know, that you can get Rabbanut Smicha and qualify after a certain amount of time to become, you know, a Rav. And the screaming headline is, in 3.5 years, you will be a Talmid Chacham Gadol. Which is stupid enough as it is, because anybody knows that you cannot become a Talmid Chacham Gadol within 3.5 years by doing a course. Right, but that wasn't what was so irritating, or so funny. The funnier part was when you open up to the second page, and the second page it says over there, get used to your new toar. Get used to your new degree or title. Very soon they will be calling you Harav Hagon. I showed it to the guy next to me. He was like, well, if that isn't a play to somebody's ego, I don't know what is. You're taking something as precious, as sacred, as elevated as becoming a Talmud Chacham, and you're schlepping it down to somebody's petty ego. Why? Because you realize that the world, the whole world, is one big fat group of narcissists. And if you want to sell anybody, you have to say, you know what? If you learn this, they're going to call you Harav Hagon. You too will be able to wear a frock with two buttons. Sit on the Mizrach. Everyone will stand up for you. Yuck. You'll never become a Talmud Chacham that way. The only way to do it is the real way. To love to learn. To be miskasha with learning. To learn because you want to learn. And whatever comes out of it, that's what's going to come out of it. At the very least, to want to share your learning with other people. Lumad al-manas l'lamed. But to become a real serious Talmud Chacham, it has to be real. It has to be part of you. But that's the message over here that we take from Avimelech. If the whole world is just there for you to suck like a vampire bat, you're dead. The only way to properly interact with the world is to realize that I'm here to serve everybody else. And if you do that, so Be'ez Hashem, you end up like an Avram Avinu. If you don't, you end up like an Avimelech and the rest of Gror, Satum, stopped up, dead. Let's open up ourselves and Be'ez Hashem become a real Talmud Chacham, not in 3.5 years though. And even if they don't call you Harav Hagon, it's probably better that way. Have a good Shabbos. Right, yeah.